Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Nicole Stott calls herself the artistic space astronaut. As a former NASA astronaut, Nicole flew in the space shuttle. She's been at the International Space Station, and she spent over 100 days in space. Now today, she's using art to inspire the next generation of space lovers, and they're doing it through the Space for Art Foundation. Now she recently helped with the creation of the Spacesuit Art Project. Now picture a spacesuit just made up of hundreds of textile fabrics with all kinds of images, hearts, stars, all kinds of things, rockets and planets drawn onto it. And it was made by kids battling cancer, and it's been used in space. This and many more art projects are going to be on display in Wynwood starting this week's Thursday, September 19th. We're going to give you more information on our social media, WLRN Sundial. Nicole Stott joins me now. Nicole, welcome. Thank you so
Thanks,
much for being
Lewis.
Here.
Nice to be here.
Oh, gosh. All right. So I love talking to astronauts. just as a disclaimer, when I was a kid, I always dreamt of being one. But
me too.
I wasn't a good student. So, you know, I'm going to live vicariously through you. When did you fall in love with the idea of space?
I think as a kid, I very thankful to have parents that shared what they love with me. And flying was one of those things. I know you're looking at me thinking there's no way she possibly could have watched that first moon landing, but I did. And that I think inspires, even if you're not thinking immediately about, ooh, I want to be an astronaut. I think something about that, even when you're seven, is extraordinary that impacts you in some way.
But was it at that moment that you thought you wanted to be an astronaut? When did you say, you know what, I got to go to space?
I think I always felt like that, but I also always felt like, wow, that's something other special people get to do. It never seemed like that should be a reality thing for me. And as much as I love flying and wanted to know how things fly, and then when I thought, wow, if you want to know how things fly, why would you not want to know how rocket ships fly? And then ended up working as an engineer at Kennedy Space Center. It was probably 8 into the 10 years of being there at Kennedy that I started thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this could be real. And I saw what astronauts do, which 99.9% of the time an astronaut is not flying in space. They're down on Earth doing things to support what goes on in space. Yeah. And a lot of what I was doing as an engineer for NASA was like that. So reached out to a couple mentors, and they encouraged me to pick up the pen and apply.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, like, who are your mentors, but who are your role models? Who are you looking up to?
Well, certainly, I really think of my parents as role models because of how they shared what they loved with me. And I know that's kind of reflective, too. Like, thinking back, wow, how did I really get to experience the things I did? Why was I open to the opportunities that I had? I think it came from how I grew up. Certainly some teachers in school, but, you know, the people that I think about now, like astronauts like Alan Bean, you know, especially when you think about this intersection between science and art or space and art. He was a space hero to me, but also an artist hero. And all of those guys that went to the moon are inspirational. And then I think of every single person that flew before me that I could learn from was certainly inspiration.
How do you feel about the fact, though, that you are now the role model? Because here's the thing, you know, I mean, you grew up and it was mostly men who were going into space. Now you have young women who could say, they can look at you and say, nah, see, that's why I can go into space.
I think there's a lot of weight, I think, you know, on the shoulders with that. But I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be one of those people. And I think that as someone who's had this really wonderful experience, I have an obligation to be present for young girls and young boys, too, for them to see what is possible. And I'm very thankful that women can go to space. And I love that NASA, really, if you look at NASA as a whole, even historically till now, has been very progressive when it comes to how the overall demographic has changed and who can and should and always could have been able to, but does now work for them.
I know that you got to go through all this training, but I want to know, what was it like that first moment when all of a sudden you've left the Earth's atmosphere and now you are in outer space? What did that moment feel like?
It's definitely one of those, you know, holy moly, surreal, like, how did I get here? And it's kind of like, how in the world did I get here kind of things, because you have this memory of strapping in at the launch pad. That whole experience is one of the most dynamic you will ever have in your entire life. And then you are in this peaceful, liberating, the most relaxing kind of feeling for your body that you can have, first of all. And then to have that view out of the window, you know, that stunning, like, oh my gosh, the Earth really is a planet, you know, view out the window, and to be able to do the kind of work that we do there that's all about improving life on Earth. I think it's just this wonderful experience all wrapped up into a moment is what it feels like for me.
What kind of work were you doing up there?
Well, we have, of course, the station itself is built as a laboratory. So
the International Space Station
is built as a laboratory. We have 15 different countries working together peacefully, successfully up there. It's amazing for over 20 years. I could talk all day to you about why that's the best example for how we should be living as crew here on Spaceship Earth. And the bulk of the work is the science that we're doing. And any area of science that you can imagine, there is some kind of experiment going on. We are the experiment a lot of the times too. And then of course, we're the maintainers of the space station. So you get to do a spacewalk sometimes, you get to fly that big robotic arm around, kind of like a big Xbox game as you're, you know, doing that, really cool. And, you know, and then the general work inside the station, and we do outreach like this. You know, I might have spoken to you from the space station about what we're doing up there, and we try to spread the word as much as possible live from the station too.
And you've spent over 100 days up in space. What is that like? That, I mean, it's got to be fun to be weightless and all that, but after a while, right?
I don't think I ever would have become bored or like this is old. There's just something about it that's so different and unique to how we live here. But that's not that being here or up there is better than the other. They're just different. And I remember thinking that the time was going by so fast while I was there. We're really busy. There's not a lot of spare time on board. If there is, your face is planted in front of one of those windows, you know, just sucking in the view of our planet. And it's just different. I wish everybody could do it.
So one of the things that you did in your spare time was you painted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought that you were probably the first artist in space, but you told me there were a couple other astronauts who have drawn.
Yep.
Were you the first artist to use watercolor?
I was the first artist to use watercolors in space. So that was new. And I highly recommend that experience. The whole thing, I think, could be used to sum up how it's like to live in space. But it was a really... I think about it now like, wow, that was a really human thing to do in space. You know, we've been doing human spaceflight for over 50 years, and the perception of it, the presentation of it a lot is just about the technical stuff that goes on, you know, the engineering of it. And I think we need to acknowledge the humanity of it more too.
All right. So, you know what, look, anybody who's used watercolors, I mean, it's water-based. Mm-hmm. So how does this work in outer space? Yeah. Everything is floating around. How are you getting paint to brush to the canvas?
Yeah, it's really fun. You know, and I didn't think too much about it before going. And in hindsight, watercolor was the best medium to use because it cleans up easy too. But, you know, down here, we would dip our brush into a cup of water. Up there, you don't. You just squirt out a little ball of water from a drink bag, and then you know, touch the brush to the ball of water. And for some reason, the water wanted to move over to the brush before you even touched it. And then it would float around the end of the bristles. You know, down here, it all kinds of mixed together. But up there, it just looked like you were moving this ball of water around on the end of the bristles. And then I would mush it around on the color and then pull. It was like you were pulling the water off of the paint.
Wow.
And then when I painted, it took a couple tries to get the technique down, because if I actually touch the brush itself to the paper just absorbed the whole blob of water at one time, colored water. So in the end, it was more like dragging the ball of water along the paper than it was really using the paintbrush to paint.
And you only took a picture of this moment. There's no video.
Yeah, I'm very thankful to my buddy Bob Thirsk for taking that random shot because, yeah.
Where is that painting?
That painting now, the original, is, and I get like little goosebumps thinking about this, is on display at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum on the Mall. And it's on display with the brush that I use too. And the brush is a brush of my friend's. His name is Ronnie Woods. And he's the guy who actually strapped the Apollo 11 crew, suited up the Apollo 11 crew for their mission, and worked for years as an engineer with the program, but then he's a wonderful watercolor artist.
See, too. Now all of a sudden I think maybe you should be doing like a special PBS paint in space show.
I think we should. We should go to space to paint.
Here's a happy little planet.
Yeah.
And here's, okay, there you go.
No,
that's
we would take
do.
His lead. That would be
that's
fine.
That's what you should do. Nicole Stodge, she's a former NASA astronaut. She flew in the space shuttle. She's been in the International Space Station. She spent more than 100 days in space. And as we found out, the first person to ever paint watercolor in space. Now, I want to get to this, though. You are part of the Space for Art Foundation. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about them.
So the Space for Art Foundation grew out of a project that several of us participated in called this. We called it the Spacesuit Art Project because we were essentially making spacesuits out of kids' art. And the artistic genius really behind that is a gentleman named Ian Sion, who was the founder of the Art and Medicine Program at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. And long story short, Ian and I, along with some of our friends within the Space Station Program Office, and then some really wonderful people at our spacesuit company, ILC Dover, who make our real spacesuits, helped us quilt this artwork together into these spacesuits. A couple of them have been to and from the space station.
Yeah, these are real spacesuits. It's not
well,
just
they're
art.
Like the covers. They're made to the same pattern that a real spacesuit would be made. I mean, you look at it, you're like, wow, that's a really colorful spacesuit. And any astronaut who sees them wants their spacesuit to be like this. They're like, why do I have to wear white?
You it's a patchwork of all these little designs, right?
Yeah, it is. And we just, you know, we tell the kids what the name of the suit will be. We've had Hope, Courage, Unity, and the one that we're going to display on Thursday here in Miami is called Exploration. And we went from painting with kids in one hospital to painting with kids in hospitals in over 45 countries and several refugee camps and some schools. And all of their artwork comes together in this community project, this like project that brings them together really, I think, as Earthlings. So they know about all these other kids around the world. They're given the opportunity to transcend this experience that they're going through in the hospital and think about their future. I mean, space as an inspiration is a really wonderful inspiration for a lot of reasons. And kids get it. And they are pointing at the sky and they're talking about their future because of this.
And let me tell you, I mean, there's a great picture of like an astronaut with this this on. And it's just from top to bottom. Because you think of a spacesuit, they're white with a few patches.
Yeah.
This is top to bottom. It is just this beautiful mesh of colors and decorations. This is going to be on display. This is the special exhibit it's on Thursday, this Thursday at the Our House Wynwood. Mm-hmm. This particular suit's going to be, one of them is going to be on display,
yeah,
right?
Our newest one, yeah.
Okay. And it's only, but here's the thing, it's only there for that one day. The exhibit is going to last for about a month, but that suit is only there for that one day.
Yeah, we want people to come out and see it. We have some other like interactive displays that are really wonderful of the kids' artwork that a supporter of ours, a company called A-Block Interactive Experiences, put together. I think people will really love being part of the art itself. And we actually have a spacewalk and VR experience that people can do. This is our first fundraiser. We've never done one
before.
The Thursday show is a fundraiser. We have an amazing Omega watch. If you're a watch person, you need to bid on it. And, you know, I mean, it's incredible watch to help support the foundation and the work that we'll continue to do, you know, in these clinical settings with the kids. We also want to fund some research into this whole idea of art and wellness, you know, the effect of that. We want to eventually be able to fund some fellowships or scholarships for artists who want to get into this area of art and wellness. And that's why we pulled the foundation together.
Let me finish with this real quickly, because you mentioned young people are still, they're still interested in space, aren't they?
They love space.
All right, they're good. It's good to know.
It is good to know. When we retired the space shuttle, there was kind of this like Debbie Downer. It was Downer for me because I personally think we should still be flying the space shuttle. But people started to think that NASA had gone away. They started to think that, you know, I'd come into a room, they'd be like, why are you an astronaut? We don't go to space
because
anymore.
Now everybody thinks it's SpaceX or it's
and
it's Virgin.
And it's going to be. But NASA is still doing really wonderful things. And in that whole time, we've had crews of six from 15 different countries on the International Space Station working together.
Well, growing up, I realized young or early enough I wasn't going to be an astronaut, but thank goodness for Star Trek and Star Wars.
Absolutely.
And I had that. So Nicole Stott, again, former NASA astronaut, and again, the Space for Art Foundation holding its holding an exhibit, but on Thursday, again, it's a fundraiser at Our House Wynwood. We'll have information on our social media, WLR and Sundial. Nicole, thank you so much.
Louis, thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Definitely. Well, that's our program for this Monday, September 16th. Coming up tomorrow on Sundial, $70 million of federal aid money to address the growing HIV crisis in Florida was not utilized by the Rick Scott administration. We're going to speak with a Guardian reporter behind the investigation and learn about how nonprofits have been filling in the gaps as a result. Also, do not forget, we have our Sundial Book Club selection. We are reading Alex Segura's crime fiction novel, Miami Midnight. You can read it, a Facebook conversation, by the way, that we had with Alex last week. We're going to be talking with him next week. Share with us, by the way, your favorite crime fiction novels. I might even give you a little tease about the book for next month. I'm Louis Hernandez. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, find us at WLRN.org or on Facebook and Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.